לב חכם למינה ולב כסל לסמיילי. וגם בדרך כשהשכל הילך, ליבו חוסר ואומר לכל שכל הוא. So over here, Qoheleth is teaching us the difference between a chacham and a ksil, between a wise man and a foolish man. That's in Yud, Pasuk, Beis, and Gimel. So first of all, the Leif Chacham Liyaminoi, Leif Ksil Lismoyle. Whatever the pshat is, it's not a shayla, but the pshat, you know, nice little remez in there, so I'll tell you all of the remez, and that's for sure you'll remember. Whether it's the shir you'll ever remember is not as a, but like the hips are vertical, it's a good thing to remember. That's what they told us when we were kids, that Leif Chacham Liminoi. The Chacham always turns to the right. It means he goes back to what he learned and he chazes it. Leif Ksil, the smiler. Ksil, the fool, always turns the next page. He always wants to learn something new, not to chaz it. Good one?
Good one.
Alright, you'll remember it. Incidentally, the prina's a pshetl, but it's got a lot of emes in it. It has a lot of emes in it. Let's talk aragav. Let's say pshat and the pshetl first. I don't know whether the person who pshetled the pshetl meant this, but the emes is you can say it's a tiefkeit in it. Why is it taka so that chacham likes the chazer and the ksil doesn't? Then what's taka the pshat? Alright, the leiv chacham is the yamino. The leiv always turns the pages to the right. He goes back to what he's learned. He wants the chazer. The ksil goes the smiloi, what he hasn't learned yet. He wants to learn something new always. What's taka the reason? What makes a person want to chazer? What does a person make the person want to learn new stuff the whole time? Well, that's the old... Yeah? Yeah?
I mean, the person is chazering, and the person who wants to go right all the time, even though he might realize he's not making as efficient use of the time as he can, he feels that he is, and feels that he's accomplishing, and that's good enough for anywhere else.
Yeah, well, I see it even in a sort of a less, even in a more negative kind of way. I think it's probably right. I know it's by that by me, so I assume it's like that by most people. I mean, the idea of constantly learning new stuff is derived from a sense of failure. Like, I don't know this, and I don't know this, and I can't get clear over here, I can't get clear over there. It's the eternal hope, right? So maybe the next sugya I'll get. Maybe I'll see something over here. Maybe something will click over here. And in other words, that you feel the need of conquering new territories in order to give yourself a sense of accomplishment. And that's sad, really, in a way, because, you know, it never works. You cannot be koilet chachma unless you love Chachma. And if you love Chachma, then forget, you'll want to make sure that you know the stuff that you've learned already. You want to get it clear, you want to get it doubly clear, because you're involved in it. Now, it's the Leif Chacham is Liyamino. He's a Chacham. What does it mean that he's a Chacham? That he's absorbed what he learned. He's given it all he has. He has a clarity in it now. He understands it. It has given him something. He doesn't see it as a threat. It's not an enemy. It's a friend. He loves it. It's clear, it's nice, it's instructive. So now forget. He'll want to read it again. He'll want to learn it again to get it doubly clear. Maybe there'll be another little insight which will wrap the thing up even more and give him a greater sort of a kinyan in it. So he has pleasure in chazara. But the person who didn't learn it so well in the first place, so now when he looks the Gemara over, so that's a threat to him. In other words, every line that he reads is going to tell him, hey, you didn't learn this right last time. Or why didn't you think this through? Or you didn't really understand it, did you? So rather than be faced with the fact that he didn't do such a good job in the first place, he'll seek solace in a new sugya. All right, I'll try this, I'll try that, I'll try a different Masechta, I'll try a different Mishnah. You see, sometimes in terms of a practical etzah, like sometimes it is a good mahala. You know, a person sometimes does get stuck on something and it's just not going, and he's reaching a point of diminishing return. So versteht sich, that at that point, sometimes it makes sense to say, okay, let's make a fresh start on something else, but not as a derech hachayim. As the derech klal, a person should be able to learn sufficiently well that by the time he leaves the sugya, as I say, it'll be, what do they say about computers nowadays? They're user-friendly, right? They're not a threat. Or that the sugya, when he leaves it, should be learner-friendly. Or they shouldn't bite. It should be something that you return back to with pleasure. And if you return back to it with pleasure, that means you learn it sufficiently well, that you return back to it with pleasure, so then you'll chazor. And then the end result of that chazorah will be that you'll know. But the ksil, who's scared of the sugya which he has learned, so he will always be the smiler. He'll always go to the new sugya because he hopes that it's nicer over there, it'll be better over there. The musa of that is, in the bepoil, something which we all need to know. How do you get into such a matzav that you're scared of the sugya that you've learned and therefore don't feel like chazaring it? Well, I think that the answer is if we are too good to ourselves. Sometimes we're a little self-indulgent in our learning. What does that mean? Learning mechanics, the mechanics of learning, some are fun, some are not fun. You tend to enjoy more the creative parts of learning. In other words, your percussion, you try to isolate two possible stodim in understanding something, you try to analyze, so you feel creative. So there's a tendency that when you come to a sugya, you know the sugya, it's a famous sugya, you've heard of the sugya, so you say, aha, now let's see, what's the central issue in this sugya? Oh, I heard that there's a machloikus over here between Taitus and Melanda. You go into the machloikus, but you don't do the groundwork in the sugya itself. Because the groundwork in the sugya sometimes comes very hard, it's very tough, it's very boring. And there is no immediate return in slogging through the text to see precisely how everything fits in, to fit in every Rashi, fit in every Tosfos. So that's not rewarding, or at least it's not immediately rewarding. No, the rewards are not evident right away. So I think the result, or rather the cause, of not knowing the sugya well is self-indulgence, the lack of discipline. The person could be strict with himself. So listen, my friend, the rewarding part of learning will come, but I have to earn it like a dessert. First I have to plow through the main course and the spinach, right? Till you get to the ice cream, whatever it is at the end. So plow through the sugya. First of all, of course, it's a Svogatik is that, because that Shtikl Toiva hasn't been written yet or hasn't been Mischadish yet, which was any good without being based on a very, very thorough and clear and mature understanding of the basics of the sugya. But even besides that, if you zero in straight to the fleshige part and you leave the so-called itsy-bitsy parts to so then, Taka, that sugya will be threatening. That won't be a user-friendly sugya. That'll be a user-threatening sugya, right? And then you don't want to chaser a taka because you know you don't know what's really coming up. You've said your shlichus taiva, you've maybe said it over to somebody, you've maybe written it down, but to go back and to plow through the sugya again, well, it looks like a new sugya. B'chol yom yiyu b'einecha k'chadoshim is a big avoda. B'chol yom yiyu b'einecha k'chadoshim means that to be able to go to an old sugya, but to have a lot of hanor from it, to have the pleasure of seeing it again, seeing new things in it, not so easy. There's a beautiful letter from the Chazon Ish, one of the Igros, where he writes about how you're supposed to learn. And he should know, because he made a great job of it. And that's what he says, that the way of learning is chatchila, to go without any kind of hanor. So there isn't much pleasure in that. Again and again, later is a hava minah, is a maskana, to know the licha olva and what comes out, to know those things which come out clearly from the sugya and those which in the end remain still with a question mark. That means the really the bricks and mortar of the sugya, and get it real clear. If then from that kind of learning, a kashya comes out, that means you've analyzed the sugya carefully, you know what you're saying, and then from that careful analysis, you're oimed on a problem. First of all, then the answer comes much more readily, because you know what you're really talking about. The question arises within a context which you understand. But then there's so much more hanor, it's so much more solid. But we are in the live a life of instant gratification. We want right away to get to the fun part. And that way the fun eventually turns to ashes in our mouth. And we seek solace in the next sugya, or the next masechta, or the next perek, or the next zman, or the next year, and always the next, and always the next, and always the next. And that way we can really fritter away choshuva bits and pieces of our lives simply by not working hard enough. So much for the pshat and the pshetl, right? Now it's only the chacham who enjoys chazara. Still doesn't. He's scared of it, so he goes on. But what's taka pshat? In leiv chacham liyaminoi, v'leiv ksil lismoiloi. Well, I guess you can learn a couple of different ways. What is Lev in this context? Lev, I think Rashi says, is Chachma, the wisdom, the Das, the understanding of a person. So, the Lev Chacham, the wise man's understanding, directs him to the Yamin, to the right direction. That's a beautiful thought, really. I don't know whether you remember, the Rosh Hashiva said a shmuz recently, said in the Gemara that the Maiminim bo, some of the Chaya, the Masmi'ilim bo, it's Fakert, the Torah. So, what Rashi over there, that the Maiminim bo, the people who are Shaikea all their energies into learning. Yamin, that's a beautiful thought. That Yamin, that right hand is strong and energetic, and it doesn't tire so easily. So, the Lev of the Chacham always leads him rightwards. It leads him to an area where he can invest all his kaifas. And that is really the ideal way of living. Come to think of it, that Vaynishan has given us a very, very precious gift. It's called life. And when you come to think of it in a certain kind of way, you can figure out just how precious it is. And we don't have any musogim of eternity. It's a sach which we can't cope with intellectually. We can know in our minds that there is such a thing as eternity, but it's something which is absolutely outside the bounds of our understanding. I mean, all right, so we say 1,000 years, but then what happens? All right, then another 1,000 years. Good, but then what happens? But the idea of eternity, that something just goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on, and then some more, is something which we can't really cope with. Now, if you consider that a person's life, it's eternal, that means when you equate a person's life with his neshama, and you measure against that eternity the life which his neshama has together with his guf, right? So let's already say 120 years, but when you stack that against eternity, it doesn't amount to much. And what we're supposed to be doing during that time is to live. And living means using or making use of every prat in one's faculties. In other words, if a person lives at half throttle, that means he has half the motor closed up and idling, or whatever it's called, and he just uses a fraction of his potential, that's terrible. Because then even in the relatively short time which he has to make something for himself and to be mechen for an eternal osef, and then he doesn't do that right and he only uses half his energies. Already not talking about the guy who uses them for the wrong things, but let's talk about the guy who's using them for the right things, but he's using much, much less than that which he's capable of. That's a pretty sad sort of picture, because at one point it's going to come out that that it's nothing much more you can do about it, and at that point you just look back and you say, well, I could have done so much more, which is a horrible kind of materialist to be in, I imagine. So the lave of the Chacham directs him to the Yamin. It directs him to a path in which he can use all his energies for his Avodas Hashem. Lave Ksil Lismola. The lave of the Ksil directs him to ways which are harmful to him. Harmful to him in the sense that they don't engage his whole personality. That was a lazy kind of life, a non-productive kind of life. Kind of life, let's say, a drifting kind of life. I can get by. It's really something to think about. Because we live in such a crazy world where people all have upside down values, and it's awfully difficult to sort out in one's own mind what's emes and what's sheker, what's a right hashkafas achaim, what's not a right hashkafas achaim. Leisure time has become a concept by us. Why? Because you read about it in advertisements, and it's a zashka v'zachayim. You want to have a job, you want to have a pandasa, and you want to have free time. Now, what would be chalila if a person taka has free time, and he uses it as free time? In other words, he regards that time as his own, and figures, okay, and if he has a shiur, he has a kriyas for a while during the day. So he's doing the Rabbanim Shem a big toiver, but really, like, it's coming out of his free time. And it's not something which he really has to do. Can you think of the tragedy of such a life? It's awful when you think about it. Now, it's like, it means that he's mafkir, his whole life. He's mafkiya from its tachlis. You're not free. You're an eved. Ki avoda hem asher tzeis yasam eretz Mitzrayim. Being an eved doesn't only mean using all one's time for the right purposes. It also means using all one's energies in the right direction, all one's faculties. Not to let any of them erode. Not to let any of them become rusty or dusty. But Ksil will say, it's okay. I make a living. I learn, so what's anybody want from me? The answer is, what anybody wants from him is to be an Eved Hashem, which means that constantly, without let up, in every moment of his life, he should be working. He should be working at top speed, and he should be working at top energy. You have to be a big chacham to direct one's life in such a way that it tends yaminwards, that it tends towards the yamin, that it tends towards a life which uses all talents and all faculties positively. Then when you come to think of it, those of you who are joggers, any joggers here? Well, today there's runs. So you see, why do you think the Rav Anishan was mechadish jogging? What do you need it for? Well, there's one way to find out that there's such a thing as a second wind. Does it matter because I know, you know what a second wind is? You got a jug. Yeah, when you run, let's say, or you're doing any kind of, bicycling, it's the same thing, I guess, yeah? And you're doing, you become very, very tired. Yeah, and you figure you cannot go on anymore. Yeah, so you figure, all right, I'll do another quarter of a mile or something, then I'm finished, I can, and you're going to drop, yeah? And you force yourself beyond the limit of what you can do, and suddenly you feel fresh again, right? A new burst of energy, a new spurt of energy. How the physiology of that works, I don't know. I don't know exactly why the body works that way. But there is such a metzias. There is such a metzias of a second wind. Theoretically, you could make use of that gufa in hasmoda too. At the end of the day, you get very tired. You figure, alright, so you learn another 10 minutes, but then it's after bed. Emes, if there's such a metzias as a second wind, maybe you can learn a little more. The emes is, often there is a second wind. By the time you get back to the dormitory, you find it remarkably easy to go on schmoozing with somebody for another hour or two, right? And it's easy enough to stay awake. What's that? That's right, that's a second wind. Now what would be ruach tata mashma? What would be if that same second wind came about in the Beis HaMedrash? Different kind of Tamid HaChachamim, different kind of Hasmodim. What is the difference between a Chacham and a Sochal? What is a wise man and what is a fool? A fool learns from his own mistakes. Well, if he learns from his own mistakes, he's not a fool. Otherwise, we would learn from our mistakes. Huh? You mean the Chacham doesn't make mistakes? Yeah, but what's stuck, like, if I want to be a Chacham, let's say, I'd like to be a Chacham. Anybody else would like to be a Chacham? See himself. So, how do you get to be a Chacham? What, who can give me an answer? I want to become a Chacham. Oh, that's what you're asking. Yeah, what's a Chacham? Yo, I'm not so sure whether I agree with you. In other words, I don't think that would be called chachma. In other words, that a carpenter can make a nice cabinet, and that a computer man can make a program which works. I don't think that's called chachma. Skill, yeah. Chacham lev sometimes is called that way. I mean, chachma has a lot of different connotations. But in what sense does Koheles use it? Lev chacham limina. What is a chacham? What is a chacham? How do you get to be a chacham? Yeah. Yeah, who's that? Yeah, what does the Mishnah say? That's beautiful. Yeah, Ezeo Chacham, Halomed Mikal Adam. Let's think about that a little bit. This Lomed Mikal Adam. First of all, how do you get to be that way? That you can be a Lomed Mikal Adam. Let's talk about that a little bit. There's a Mishnadika Yesod, which it's kedai to talk about and which we have to know about. It says in Bereshit, it says, Yivarak Shem Elokim Esa Adam, the Tselem Elokim Baro Osar, Zochor and the Kevo Baro Osam. Okay? That the Rabban Shem was by the Adam, and he was by him the Tselem Elokim. And he was by him Zochor and the Kevo Baro Osar. Okay? But Yivar Hashem Elokim Esa Adam. Selem Elokim Osa Esa Adam. Zoch on the Kevo Vavo Osam. Now, what is the fact that the Rabban Shloilam made man, Zoch on the Kevo, have to do with the fact that he made them but Selem Elokim? So, there's a Yisoid in the Sforim which says like this, that besides the fact that there's Zoch on the Kevo, in the sense that they're men and that they're women. In every person, there is a koyach of zocher, and there's a koyach of nekeva. Now, in Chazal, the zocher always is the mashpia, is the one who gives, the one who forms, the one who initiates, the one who influences. The Nikeva is always the one who is the Mekabel. She's the one who is formed, the one who is acted upon, the plastic material which is formed. In Poshet, in the physical sense, you had the Tysus and Ksavas, Kairos Brith, I saw Kaylee, right? Poshet, that husband and wife. Husband makes the Isha into a Kaylee. So he's the Noisen, she's the Mekabelet. So from that is derived and grows out the whole concept, the whole idea of Zochanus being mashpia, being active, being influential, being the giving part, forming part, the Keva being the plastic, receptive, passive part in creation. So Zochanus and Keva Bavaisam means that every single person, whether it's a man or a woman, is both Zocha and Mekeva, is both Mashpia and Mushpa, is both able to teach and able to learn. Now, before we go into that, in what sense is that Tzelem Elokim? In what sense is that being created in the form of Hashem? Well, that's also Pashat, because the Ribbono Shel Olam Kiviyochel is Mashpia, everything which we have comes from Hashem. But Kriyochal is also a Nekeva in that sense, because he allows himself to be Mushpa by us, because it's our actions which influence how the Ribbono Shel Olam reacts to us, right? My Rosh Yeshiva said once, Morim Brochus, difficult Gemara. The Gemara says, B'noik Sheba'aylam, when a person gives a chepetz away, he's sad. But the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's not that way. Because it says, Ki lekach toiv nosati lachem, terosi al tazavu. The Ribbono Shel Olam was happy when he gave us the Torah. So Ravan Kotler, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, asked, what's the dinyan? When a person gives away a chepetz, he doesn't have it anymore, so that's why he's sad. How did the Ribbono Shel Olam lose the Torah by giving it to us? I mean, what's the chiddush that he was happy? He didn't lose anything by giving it to us. So why should he have been sad? So he said he did lose. But once he gave the Torah to Yidden, the Ribbono Shel Olam Kiviyochel ceases to be a free agent. He can't now anymore. Ribbono Shel Olam wants to be good to us. But now it says in the Torah that if we do Averus, it's going to be Einshem. Right? So the Ribbono Shel Olam now suddenly has his hands tied, as it were. He wants to be Mashpia, only Chesed and Rachamim and Simcha and warmth and Tveikas and love. And now suddenly we, by our actions, limit his ability to do that. And suddenly he has to be strict and firm and punishing and harsh, right? That's not what Hashem wants. So he also gave away a chepet. Still he was happy. So the Ribbono Shel Olam is Mashpia and the Ribbono Shel Olam is Mushpa. The Ribbono Shel Olam gives us everything we have, and also he allows us to influence him. So within the person, within every person, there's this ability both to be Mashpia and to be Mushpa. That's a beautiful thought. Because that means that a person, any person, can, if he wants to, be an eternal mislame, a boki or a lamdan, that he can't also be in the cave, that he also can't learn something. He can't learn something from somebody else. On the other hand, there's nobody who's so low, who's such an amaoret, or who's such a low kind of person, that he can't teach. Every person has zachras in himself also. He can be mashpir. He can show somebody something which other person wouldn't have had if he wouldn't have seen him. A hanhoga, a way of reaction. Or do you see a poshet to yid? Take that story, that moshel in the Medrash, where this reichel came into the marketplace and he called out, man boy chayim, remember? Put up a stall in the flea market, and he came along and he shouted out, man boy chayim. So all the people came and stood around him. Everybody wanted to buy life. So when they were all there, he took out his Tanakh, and he read them the pasuk, mi ha'oi shechofetz chayim, yom levastav, metzal, shan chomero, stop talking, and you'll live. So the Tana or the Amor, whoever it was who heard this, sent him out money, because he was so grateful to him. The Talmidim asked him, Rebbe, didn't you know this pasuk before? Like, what was this guy Mechadish to you? And so he said, no, he was Mechadish, that the Taka means what it says. You know, it's a good desire, you're not supposed to talk Lashon Hara. But that it spells the difference between life and death, and that people who are interested in buying a pill to live can be told, listen, my friend, that is a chiddush, and that I never knew. So this guy who was out on the marketplace, he was probably a poshti yid, but it wasn't nishkin drinking kaisa chacham. All he did was, you know this nice story of the Arizal's Talmidim, the old stories, you don't know whether they really happened, but it's a beautiful story anyway. The Talmidim of the Arizal asked him on Erev Yom Kippur how to go into Yom Kippur, how should you prepare for Yom Kippur. So he told them that they should look in on this shoemaker, this poshet yid who lived in the town, and they would learn from him how to approach Yom Kippur. So they went there and they peeked in by the window, and they saw him getting ready for his Sudasana Sekas. So he put out a nice tablecloth and he got out his nice candlesticks and he got ready to eat the Sudasana Sekas. So during the Suda, he took out two ledgers. He had two account books. So he opened the first one. He said, the Rabbanu Shlalom, it's in Kippur, it's Erev Yom Kippur, I want to get ready, there's a din of vidui. I want to tell you all the chatoim which I did here. And he had it all written up in that ledger. This day I didn't daven with kavon, this day I didn't prepare the shoes so well as I might have done and swindled the guy. He had a long, nice, big list of averos. He kept an exact record. And Masudan of Sekas, and he read out all the averos which he had done during the year. Pride, svadim, we are yid. Then he said, okay. And then he finished and said, that's this ledger. So then he says, okay. Then he took the next ledger. And he said, look, Avanishan, now I've told you the averos that I've done to you. Now let's see the averos that you've done to me. Took out the second ledger, and the kids were sick, and his wife had sorrows, and there weren't any shoes to wear, and they didn't have enough food to eat, they didn't have enough clothes to wear. They had sorrows, he had a tough life. And it was also quite a choshev ledger, a ledger full of averos which Rabbi Shlomo had done to him. So then he closed the ledger and said, you know, Rabbi Shlomo says, Erev Yom Kippur, I did averos to you, you did averos to me, let's drink a lechayim, and we'll be meichel each other. So he took out his whatever it was, his vodka, and he drank a lechayim, and that's how he finished his Suda HaMasekas. So the Talmidim came back, the Arizal all head up, they're hot under the collar, they said, well, this is the guy you send us to. What are we supposed to learn from him? So he said, you're supposed to learn from him, Vimund Avtug and Yom Kippur. You have to learn from him how a Tmimistic Yid understands Yom Kippur, that there's a Tshuva and a Kapara. Yeah? If he can drink a Lecha, you're so shine, so his theology was a little unsophisticated. Yeah? This was, but the while he knew clear that this Yom Kippur is going to get a kapara for his avodah, he understood it. He must go to the Yom Kippur and know that the Rabban Shem is going to be meichel. So here there were people, if they were Talmidei Arizal, they were probably very, very sophisticated people, and they were very big Talmidei Chachamim, but they learned something very important from a very poshut yid who probably wouldn't have been able to even talk to them intelligently about anything that interested them. But they were, in other words, they were nekevos. They were mushpoim, and he was a zocher. He was a mashpia. He was somebody who was able to teach. He was able to be their rebbe. He wasn't able to be their rebbe in learning a tosfos, but he was able to be a rebbe in loving Hashem. He was able to be their rebbe on that level. Ezer chacham halaymed mikol adam. Moshe said, see, you've got to be able to pick up those lessons. What makes a person unable to learn from every person? It took the Arizal to send the Talmidim there. And perhaps if the Talmidim would have seen the same story without the Arizal, let's say they would have happened to pass by there and decided to peek in the window, they wouldn't have learned that lesson. On the contrary, they would have probably put him into Chayim or something. You know, that he's a, like, you know, like he's a Mecharev and Megadev, which he probably was, strictly speaking. What's the pshat? See, it takes a chacham to know that you can learn from everybody. It takes a chacham. You've got to be wise. You've got to be wise enough. Not only the pshat is ezeh chacham halomin likol odam means, because when you learn from everybody, you get a lot of wisdom. In other words, how do you become a chacham? By learning from everybody, and that way you learn a lot. No. It means you've got to be very wise to learn from everybody. And into what does that wisdom translate itself? What is the wire which carries the electricity? What is the gesha, which is magasha, between me and the ability to learn from everybody? How am I going to get that chachma? How does my chachma translate itself into an ability to realize that I can learn from everybody, even people who are much more posher than I am? We have another nice little word for that, and that word is called modesty. Right? In other words, that a person should never be so wise in his own mind that he feels, well, what does this guy have to teach me? And that middah is not a very, very unimportant one. It's the most important middah which we can have, interestingly enough. We are interested that Hashem should love us. If the Baruch Hashem wouldn't love us, we'd be in really bad shape. Because we often act in such a way that if the Baruch Hashem wouldn't love us, it takes a lot of patience to deal with Klal Yisrael, right? And we do so many things wrong and so stupid half the time. Yeah, but the Ribbono Shel Olam has never lost patience with us, never ceased loving us. Now, why does the Ribbono Shel Olam love us? What middah does the Ribbono Shel Olam see in us which elicits his ahava, which makes the Ribbono Shel Olam want to love us? It's pasuk in Yirmiyahu, ki na'ar Yisrael va'aveh, because Yisrael is a na'ar, and therefore I love him. Now, what is a na'ar? Chazal and the Psukim, what is a na'ar? Who's called a na'ar in the Torah? Who? Who na'ar es b'nei bilov es b'nei zilpo, right? Who else is called na'ar? Who? Where is Yishmael called na'ar? Yeah. Ah, but you mean without being identified? Chazal would say that he's a Na'ar. Yeah, yeah. I think about Yeshua. Yeshua ben Nun Na'ar. Lo yom vesh mitoich ha'ayel. Na'ar, Chazal say, what is the shayrish Nun Ayin Resh? The Na'er. What does that mean? Shake off, shake out, right? So, Na'ar is somebody who is Menu'or. Who is shaken out, who is empty, there's nothing inside him. That's what a na'ar is. That's why a youngster is called a na'ar, because he doesn't have much wisdom yet. So, the describing a great Talmud Chacham, or describing a great person as a na'ar, is describing him as somebody who feels himself constantly empty, who always wants to learn more and more and more and more and more. He feels he doesn't have anything yet. That was Yeshua. What did Yeshua, what did Chazal say about Yeshua? Yeshua bin Nun Na'ar, lo yomish mitoich ha'ayel. So what was when he was lo yomish mitoich ha'ayel? So he heard the Shia four times, right? First time he heard when Moshe told Aaron, then Aaron sat down next to him, and then Nadav and Abihu came in, and the sons of Aaron, they taught it again, and then they taught it to Zikna Yisroel. And all the time Yeshua was sitting over there, cleaning up the chairs and listening to the Torah. Means he had a very great thirst for Torah. Actually, that's a Purim Tikkun Inyan. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu send Yeshua to fight Amalek? Why didn't he do it himself? So there are lots of different ways of learning there. But one of the ways of learning is this, the Tzaddik. So it's a very interesting Zav. Very, very Yisoides Tikkun Machshava, which if we understand it well, it can help us to lead our lives a little bit. It says like this, it says, Amalek is in the represents the 50th Shah of Tumah. In other words, Amalek is just about as bad as you can get. Right? If you say the 50 Sha'orim of evil, so Amalek is the 50th Shah of Tumah. So what would be needed to counteract that 50th Shah of Tumah? What's that? 50th Shah of Kedusha, right. Trouble is that nobody ever reached that. Says Moshe Nigash El Ha'arofel Asher Shom Elokim. He came close to the Arofel, to the 50th Shah, but not to it. Lo Yirani Ha'odam Vachoy. So he only reached the 49 Sha'orim of Kedusha, Chachma, whatever it is. So who's going to counteract Amalek? If Amalek is the 50th Shah of Tumah, and you don't have anybody with the 50th Shah of Kedusha, so you're in trouble. So what do you do? So Psadik learns like this, and it's a very, very beautiful machshava. It says like this, how do we judge whether a person is shayach to the 50th Shah? So it depends. It depends whether we measure the person in terms of his accomplishments, or you measure a person in terms of his ambitions, in terms of his cravings. So Moshe Rabbeinu was Torah. So he is Moshe Rabbeinu. But he was measured in terms of what he was. And what he was the 49th Shah of Kedusha, right? It's also nothing to sniff at, right? Like, come to Yisrael, come Moshe, Navi. Moshe Ben Moshe, right? But that was what he was, more than that he was. Yeshua, whose whole middah is the middah of na'ar, Yeshua, whose whole middah is the middah of wanting, of craving, more knowledge, more knowledge, more knowledge, more knowledge, right? So he, his wanting, goes even up to the 50th Shah. He wants to swallow everything, right? He can never be satisfied. He was measured not in terms of what he had, but he was measured in terms of what he wanted. In terms of wanting, you can have the 50th Shah also. So Yeshua is the person who can annihilate Amalek. Actually, that stems very much. I mean, it stems also in many other in your name of Amalek, because we know that Amalek is the big Leitz, right, who can't learn anything, who's not interested in learning anything. Leitz take, upesi, yarem, Chazal say, right? You beat up the Leitz, but the Leitz doesn't learn, it's the Pesi who learns. Amalek was defeated. Who came to be Megaya himself? Not Amalek, was Yisrael, Yehovah Yisrael. So Leitz take, Leitz take, upesi, yarem. Amalek doesn't want to learn. Amalek thinks it knows it all. He's the Leitz. He's the Leitz. He's the one who says there's nothing in this world that anybody can give me. That's why he's Acharisai Adei Oved. He's not going to be around in Yimei Mashiach because he can't learn anyway. So the counterbalance of that is Yeshua bin Nunna. It's the person who can learn from everybody. See, so when you are inspired by a very big craving of knowledge. You want to know, you want to learn, and nothing is too insignificant to engage your interest. So then you can learn from everybody. Because you don't feel that you have everything. You feel yourself to be menu'ah. You feel yourself to be empty. You feel yourself to be lacking. And therefore you are attuned. Maybe there's something that I can learn over here. Beautiful machshava. So Leif Chacham Liyaminoi. The Leif of the Chacham. See, essentially you see in the Torah that the Torah uses the word Chacham not only as somebody who is accomplished in wisdom, but somebody who loves wisdom. Uv Leif Kol Chacham Leif Nosati Chachma. Or Kashif is a Chacham Leif already, so what are you putting Chachma in? The answer is he knows what to do with it. He's machshav chachma. It's something which is important to him. It's something which is valuable to him. Tell me how you learned pshat. Let's hear a new insight, a new machshav, new approach. Maybe I'm wrong. See, half our problem in the world comes from the fact that we're so ossified in our attitude. We know everything already, and therefore we're not open to hear other ideas, to hear other machshavas. But you've got to be a loymed mikol adam.
Shteitzuch, you have to have a koyach of habchana. You mustn't learn the wrong things.
But then if a person says, I'm so scared of learning the wrong things, I'm not going to learn at all, so it becomes a fossil. Also not good. You have to be attuned. Your heart has to be open. Your ears have to be open. So what happens to you if you are a ksil and you don't want to learn? Wherever the sochal goes, there's nothing there to him. There's nothing to him. Now the two pshatim over here in Ba'omer Lakol Sochalhu, and both of them are emes, and both of them agree with the yesodus which we said. Either Ba'omer Lakol Sochalhu, he announces to everybody, I am an idiot, right? That's one way. I am a sochal. It means just by the way he acts, by the way he carries himself, by the way he talks, he announces that he's a fool. Or Ba'omer Lakol Sochalhu. Or he says everybody else is a fool. In other words, he sees himself to be the only chacham, and he says that everybody else is a fool. Those two things go together. What kind of person would say to everybody that he's a fool? In other words, would consider everybody except himself a fool. That is somebody who is so enamored of his own understanding, he's so enamored of his own intelligence, and he sees that nobody else understands things quite as he does, so he thinks everybody else is a fool. The sad truth happens to be that not everybody else is a fool. So by being ossified in his hanochas and refusing to learn, refusing to bend, refusing to be flexible, refusing to realize that some of his ideas may be wrong, so he's constantly sprouting his ideas because he feels that everybody ought to be mightily interested in them, and therefore by whatever he does, he announces to the world that he is a fool. Ba'omer Lakol Sochalhu. Yeah. What do you think is the answer to that? What do you think is the answer to that? Yeah, we're not saying that if you are in possession of an objective emes, you shouldn't try to propagate it, right? We're saying if you're not, we're saying that the ksil announces to everybody that he is a ksil and considers everybody else who doesn't agree with him a ksil, right? Avraham was in possession of an emes, right? The Rebbeinu Shlom said to Avraham, Lech lecha me'atzcha, or even before that, right? He was makir the Rebbeinu Shlom. Right? We're not saying that everybody who has an idea which he knows to be emes is a fool. Obviously not. Right? We're saying a fool has that quality. You understand what I'm saying? You mean, why wasn't Avraham choshet himself that he might be wrong? What do you think? Why do you think he wasn't choshet himself? Why do you think he wasn't choshet himself? The Talmud is because he was choike and in doyrish, and he went to everybody in his doyrish, and he asked, and he argued with them, and he heard what they had to say, and he was willing to listen to what they had to say, right? He kept on experimenting. He didn't say, oh, this is how it is, I came up with a new theory. First day he said, maybe it's the sun, and he observed that, and then he came to the conclusion that it wasn't. He said, well, let's try a different theory. Maybe it's the moon, or whatever it is, whatever the mahalach was, right? That's not the derech of itself. That is somebody who takes every theory, who tests it, who examines it, who analyzes it, and then slowly and surely over a period of time comes to a conclusion that he sees the emes, and he's ready to propagate it. We're talking about the sochal over here. The guy is not interested. He's got an idea and that's it. So he won't test it. He won't consider that maybe it's wrong. Then he goes and announces it and talks about it. So he is announcing it himself. Right? That's the Indian for tonight, I think. I mean, this would be so nice if we could train ourselves to become listeners. Such a beautiful thing. To know the skill of being silent, of listening, of trying to be makabel. A lot of times, even if what you hear is wrong, it's good to hear it. Because by refuting it, by calling upon your own wisdom in order to refute it, you sharpen the image of your own wisdom. Right? You have to defend the thing that you stand for. Attack against a false attack. But merely the need to defend it forces you to define it more clearly.
Not so fuzzy, was it? It's articulated in such a way that somebody else can understand it too. Helps to sharpen the image. The big yesodus. The ikka is to try and allow one's lathe to direct him to the yamin, to direct him into a path where he can use his kaifas, uses his energies, to serve Hashem with every fiber of his being, not only in terms of time, but in terms of ability. People have talents, people have faculties, people have intelligences, people have characteristics, there are all kinds of things, there's a total personality. And the trick is to try and rein in, to harness all those faculties into the Avodah Zarah. That's the Leif Chacham, the Yamina. What will everybody remember from this? What the hell, right? It's also in the devotion. Okay.